Your spot, most of you probably already are. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 tonight? This is our 19th lesson, and we're only in the 16th verse. And if you're looking for a speedy study, you've come to the wrong place, amen. This is not a microwave, this is a slow cooker, amen. And we really, just book of Ephesians is such a deep book. It's such a rich book. And I just think it's a disservice to blast through it real quick. Amen. And so we're going to stand if you're physically able. If you're not, don't you worry about that. And read verses 16 or 15 and 16 tonight as we look at the testimony of the church at Ephesus. The testimony of the church at Ephesus. So verses 15 and 16, being that we're just reading two verses, let's read them both in unison together. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Ready? Let's begin. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Before we had our Christmas break, amen. We looked at, in our last lesson, we looked at the believer's guarantee. If you've got an outline there, the first blank line is the believer's guarantee. And the believer's guarantee is in verses 13 and 14, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the believer's guarantee that he is truly God, that he belongs to God, that he or she is a child of God. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 9 says, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His, okay? And so the believer's guarantee. So we talked about there, three bullet points there. The seal's purpose, verse 13, the seal's purpose says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with what? That Holy Spirit of promise. So when you, as a believer, whether you're a 5-year-old child, a 25-year-old man, a 45-year-old lady, when you personally trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you hear the word, you believe, you understand that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you, and you trust Him as your Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, I don't feel sealed. It doesn't matter. But Pastor, I didn't feel any cold chills when I asked Jesus to save me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God said that you're sealed. Ladies and gentlemen, when your feelings and the Word of God contradict one another, can I give you just a piece of free advice? This isn't even in my notes. Just believe the Word of God and tell your feelings to take a hike. Amen, Pastor. Because you know what? As Luther said, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Amen? Really. So the seal's purpose, okay, says you were sealed there, okay? The second is we have the Spirit's presence. First bullet point, the seal's purpose. Second, the Spirit's presence. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit of God. How do I know that I've truly been saved in the Spirit? Can I ask you this? Can you sin and not feel rotten about it? You say, Pastor, every time I sin, I feel rotten about it. That's because the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. I call it holy heartburn, Brother Wyatt. Before I was saved, I never got any holy heartburn. But after I saved, when I start to do things that I used to do, because we still have flesh, the Holy Spirit would say, you're mine. You don't belong there. You shouldn't be doing that. And so the Spirit's presence. Then thirdly, the sovereign's pledge. It says there, which is the earnest. And we talked about that. That's an old term, earnest money. You put down earnest money on a piece of property or earnest money on a house. It was a pledge. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is God's pledge. And one day, He's going to come to collect. It's called the rapture of the church, amen, when he takes us up. So this concludes this passage of praise, verses 3 through 14, which reviewed three things here. We've already dealt with this, so we'll not spend long here. Verses 3 through 6 dealt with the will of God the Father. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 7 through 12 dealt with the work of God the Son. Okay, so God's will and then the Savior's work. And then verses 13 and 14, the witness of the Holy Spirit. The fact that we can know we're saved. We can know we're God's. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Okay, blank line here. The Holy Spirit then moves the Apostle Paul to share his blank line prayerful desires for this beloved church. Okay? The Holy Spirit then moves the Apostle Paul to share his prayerful desires for this beloved church that God used him to blank line plant. Okay? That God used him to plant and among whom he ministered for, does anybody know? 3 years. That's exactly right. The Apostle Paul ministered at the church of Ephesus for 3 years. He said, when he was getting ready to leave Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he said, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you day and night with tears. So 3 years he poured himself in to these people, to this ministry. And so, however, before he shares his prayer, he reveals the testimony of the church at Ephesus. The testimony of the church at Ephesus. You hear that term. Lord willing, this year, I believe I preached my testimony twice here at our church. And this year, the Sunday falls on the actual day that I got saved. So February 26th this year, I'll share my testimony again. You hear that term, testimony. See, but Pastor, what does that mean, you know, when you hear somebody say the testimony of the church? Well, let's look if we could hold your place there in Ephesians and go to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. And that is right after Jude and right before the book of Concordance. Amen. If you get to the book of Concordance, you went too far. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. And look, if you would, with me at verses 1 through 4. This is very interesting because the church at Ephesus is the only church to have two apostles write two epistles. We used to have one of our Bible college professors. He would have multiple choice questions, and he would say, what are the epistles? And one of the multiple choice was always, Mrs. Merrill, the apostles' wives. Amen? And it's not. They're letters. Amen? They're letters. And so the Apostle Paul wrote the letter that we're studying, the epistle to the Ephesians, amen, but also the Apostle John here in Revelation wrote this small little epistle to the church at Ephesus. Very interesting. Only church to have two apostles written by two epistles written by two apostles. Better try that again, amen. It says there in Revelation 2:1, unto the angel of the church of who, where? Ephesus, okay? Preach to the pastor, the messenger, the angelos, okay? Write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, okay? And thy labor. He said, your church has a reputation for works and for labor. And thy, patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That'll almost close down a church nowadays. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne up. Okay? Miss Fan, you go out towards the Cape, you'll go over the Bourne Bridge. The Bourne Bridge, amen. It means to bear up. Okay? And hast patience again for my name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Okay? So here we have the Lord Jesus' assessment of the testimony of the church. Now, praise God, we can have a reputation, but the Lord Jesus truly knows who we are. Amen? No, so our churches. The Apostle Paul, back in Ephesians, if you go back there with me, reveals some things about the church of Ephesus, okay? Their testimony. So, number one, if you would, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we've got four Roman numerals and some points underneath there. This church at Ephesus, their testimony. What was their reputation? What did this beloved apostle think of them? What did God think about them? Well, I want you to notice, number one, the reach of their testimony. The reach of their testimony. It says there in verse 15 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaking here, "Wherefore I also, after I," what's the next word, church? "Heard of your faith." I have a note underneath there. Paul penned this book from a Roman prison in 60 to 62, part of the prison epistles, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Brother Brandon, it was a long way from Ephesus to Rome. And you know what their testimony had? A reach. The testimony of that little church in Ephesus, Miss Robin, reached all the way to Great Rome. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Do you know your testimony reaches all the way to the Philippines? You know your the testimony of Little Loomis Park Baptist Church, this 60 believers here, and we've got another 60 or 70 downstairs, whatever. This church reaches all the way to South Africa. Testimony of this church. This church reaches all the way to Spain. This church testimony reaches all the way to New Zealand. You want to talk about the furthest part? By the way, it's one of the reasons why you ought to be involved in worldwide missions. Financially and prayerfully. The reach of the testimony at Ephesus was it reached all the way to Rome. Paul said, "You know what? I've heard about you. I've heard about you." And think about that. Now, nowadays, praise God, with technology, the reach has gone so much further. Think about that in 60 A.D. Oh, there's this little church in Ephesus. Boy. And you have to think about the Apostle Paul. Says, "Yeah, I know that church. I planted that church. God used me to minister there and straighten them on doctrine." So the reach of their testimony reached all the way to Rome. Secondly, verse 15, the reality of their testimony. What does it say there in verse 15? It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your" what? Faith. Faith. That is our testimony, okay? The reality of their testimony was it was faith. We have three notes here underneath that. Number one, their personal faith. I was thinking about this on Monday and just thinking about ways that we could do better in reaching out to people. And I got to thinking about a lot of the modern churches, they're all about connection. They're all about connection. You know, connecting with people in community. And by the way, listen, we are a community here. Amen. But it starts with conversion. Amen. It starts with conversion. If you're here and you come, you can be part of the community and you can connect with people. But if you're not saved, you're still on your way to hell. And he says here, "I've heard of your faith," personal faith, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So their personal faith there, number one. Number two, their works of faith. You're in Ephesians. If you go over just a page, probably you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Looking forward to preaching on these verses, probably in about a year, amen, whenever we get that far. But it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Why did God save you and not take you to heaven? I'll tell you why. He created us to show forth our faith by our good works. That's what the book, James chapter 2, is all about. That so many people, Brother Becker, have taken James chapter 2 and twisted it all around. It's James saying this: hey, you say you have faith? Fine. I'll show you my faith by my works. And this church at Ephesus, their reached all the way to Rome, and the reality of their testimony was it was a testimony of faith, it was personal faith, their works of faith, and praise God for this, their object of faith in verse 15 says what? Faith in what? Anybody up? Anybody awake? Amen. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, I have faith. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Listen to me. Jehovah's Witnesses have faith. Don't they? Sure do. Hey, Muslims have faith. They pray a lot more than we do. It's the object of our faith that matters. The Lord Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. Amen. So their testimony, the reach of their testimony went to Rome. The reality of their testimony was a personal faith and the works of faith and the object of faith. Number three, the relationship of their testimony. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and what? Love unto all the saints. A new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. One thing we could say about this church here in Ephesus was they did not lack in love for one another. Blank line there. They did not lack in love for one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Read it. Read it. It talks about the love of God, and we love Him because He first loved us. But he bookends it in verses 7 and 21 with, hey, if you hate your brother and you say, I love God, you're a liar. He says, look, you can't love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother who you have seen. How dwelleth the love of God in this man? Hey, this church, the reach of their testimony went all the way to Rome. The reality of their testimony was a reality of faith, personal faith, works of faith, object of faith. The relationship of their testimony was it produced love. And we're just having a conversation before church is love, the love of the Bible, the love of the New Testament is not an ushy-gushy, feely, emotional love. It is a command to be obeyed. You know, you can love a person and not like them very much. How do you do that, Pastor? Obediently. That's how you do that. You obey the Scriptures. Say, look, God loved me. I am supposed to love that person. Are they hard to love? Yes, and so are you, by the way. Amen. Amen. So the relationship of their testimony, the reality of their testimony, the reach of their testimony. I love this last point here, and we'll finish with this. The results of their testimony. What did the testimony of this church, what did it result in this text? Verse 16. Paul says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And in the next several weeks, we'll look at this prayer that he gives. But two things we say here that result in their testimony, this church. By the way, this church did not... It wasn't a spotless testimony. The Lord Jesus said, look, you've left your first love. But they had a good testimony. They had a good testimony. Number one, under Roman numeral 4 there, what was the result? The gratitude of Paul for them. What does he say in verse 16? I cease not to give thanks for you. Well, I tell you, I really believe, and I know that there are several keys to the Christian life. I want to tell you, as somebody who's right now training young children, my own children, I feel like Miss Ruth Marie, if I can get my children to get gratitude down, I feel like that is the key to the Christian life. I really do. Because if we have true gratitude toward God, why wouldn't we serve Him? Why wouldn't we give to Him? Why wouldn't, when there's a project and we have some skills, why wouldn't we give our skills to? Because we're so grateful for all that He's done. Apostle Paul says, look, your testimony has moved me to gratitude for you. I think about people in my life that have helped me become who I am today, which, by the way, is just a work in progress, just like you. Love that old song, Miss Judy. He's still working on me, amen, to make me what I ought. He still is. But I think about people who invested in Carrie and I when they didn't know I was going to be a pastor. They just wanted to be a blessing. Well, that ought to drive me to thankfulness, gratitude. And here, their testimony, the result of their testimony was the gratitude of Paul for them. But then, praise God for this. And this is very convicting, by the way. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Not only the gratitude of Paul for them, but the prayers of Paul for them by name. Making mention of you. Now, he may have said, the Bible doesn't say. He may have said, Father, thank you for those precious believers at Ephesus. But he may have also said, thank you for the Downings there in Jackson, that precious family that helped me along. He may have said, thank you for Miss Wireman and her giving me that book out of the bookstore. Amen. He may have said, thank you for Miss Bittinger, who was so kind to bake me all those good things that she gives to the pastor. Amen. Or whatever. You just feel, hey, listen, when you have a testimony, a good testimony, it produces good results. And what it did in the apostle's heart was produced gratitude, but also making mention of you in my prayers. That's awesome. Perfect church? Nope, neither's ours. Neither's any church tonight that's having prayer meetings. It's not a perfect church, but it had a good testimony. I thank God for the people through the years that have given our church a good testimony. Miss Ruth Marie, I loved your testimony during our Thanksgiving service of your family. That just really blessed my heart. And I know so many others that could name names of people that are gone. Maybe people that are on these plaques right here on the pews, amen, that strive to love God and to reach people, and that God would be pleased with this, His body of Christ at 2301 North Wilm or on Michigan Avenue way back when. Hey, you know what? Let's just strive to have a good testimony. Let's strive personally to have a good testimony, but also that our church would have a good testimony. I remember my pastor saying that he had led somebody to the Lord years ago. You know, when people get saved, they have a lot of baggage, especially adults. And he said he got next to the pastor and he just had a few people with him at that time. He would have this man come and help him count the offering, Brother Lowell, because he just didn't have another man to it. Guy would have cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve, amen. He said, we're going to count the offering. He was teaching him. And so this guy was still struggling with cigarettes, and he'd heard the pastor preach, and he had a pocket full of gospel tracts, amen. And he was walking around saying, here, come hear my preacher. Come hear my preacher, amen. And the pastor said, we need to get you some tracts without any address on them, amen. And... hey, you know what? We appreciate the zeal of a young convert. Amen? Hey, by the way, is that a little convicting?
Yeah, very.
But you've been saved a little while. You know, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Proverbs 22:1 says that. That's your testimony. That's our testimony as a church. I mean, nothing ever take the luster off the testimony of this church. Church at Ephesus had a great testimony. Father, thank you for your goodness, your blessings unto us. Thank you for, Lord, the testimony of this church. Lord, that you have worked so much through the years and blessed in so many ways. And because people have desired to please you, I pray that you would please, Lord, help us to shine for you.